In the cartoon battle of today's episode, it's an all-star tribute to Peter Cullen. It's Jet Theory Radio. ATX, welcome to Jet Theory Radio. It's episode number 13. I am David, but you may know me better as the one they call Jetter. I want to thank you in advance for giving your ear a listen to our podcast. Thanks for tuning in there. As always, and I am so hesitant to introduce him, but you know, he's there. He's to my left. It's Mr. Gail Murren.
I'm the voice of reason, otherwise known as Shady Justice.
Justice does not prevail. Not from that face right there.
Actually, with most battles, it tends to.
Well, actually, go ahead. Keep saying that.
Okay.
I love that phrase.
We'll see.
Well, actually,
Justice is my middle name.
Oh, see,
it works out.
Not for you.
Okay.
Because if it's his middle name, he was born with it. You gave yourself that name years after you were born. He was born with it. He rules, you drool.
Chosen names are worse than given names.
I didn't give it to myself.
Oh, whatever. Excuses from the one they call Murren. Well, you heard some voices there in the background, and you may hear a few yelps from time to time here. JTX Studios has been invaded of the four-legged furry kind. Where are you, Ranger? Want to come on up here and give a little intro? Give a little bark?
It is his first birthday today.
First birthday, awesome! Happy birthday, there, pup.
Okay. Little 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. Little 1 year old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seven in human years, I believe.
And pup years, yeah.
Pup years.
One human, seven pup.
Right.
Well, the voice you're hearing is one half of the dynamic duo that we have on here today. With us today, we've got Dave and Linda.
Yo. What's up?
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for coming on. We're going to be talking about an assortment of stuff today. One will be that four-legged guy just hopping around the studio here. We're also going to be talking about the best Saturday morning cartoon show, thus the call out to Peter Cullen, who actually is in all four of our shows. So,
to be fair, he was in everything.
For the most part, shows the man has talent and range. And still doing it today because you've heard him as the voice of Optimus Prime in all the Transformers movies.
My show actually has two Transformers in it.
Ooh.
I'll get to that later.
Okay. All righty. Well, let me see here. We're also going to be toward the end there, if we got a little bit of time, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Master Thespian known as Tom Hardy. So to start all off, Dave and Linda, I believe you guys had just gotten done with a little bit of a ski ball here in Austin. Got a ski ball that I'll speak eventually, unless you just want to start, so just take over.
You know, that is true. We just finished up skeezin'.
Mm-hmm.
Our first skeezin',
but the 25th skeezin' of Brewski Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Founded in Brooklyn, New York, and they spread out to Austin. I think they have something in Florida and Asheville, North Carolina. They're all over the place. They got nationals and everything, but yeah.
So you guys do it, is it just one spot here in Austin, or you like bar hop around to different areas that have a ski ball? Or?
Well, there's actually different leagues. So Brewski Ball is at Full Circle Bar, but mm-hmm. there's actually, I think there's one at Gourmand's and there's another place, but this is Brewski Ball. So there's different mm-hmm. leagues, and this one only plays at Full Circle three nights.
They basically, Brewski Ball mm-hmm. owns the bar.
Uh-huh.
They used to do it at Scoot Inn, which I think you interviewed James a few weeks ago.
Yep.
He's mm-hmm. a coworker of mine, a friend of ours, so they used to do it at Scoot Inn, and it just got so big that... they bought their own bar and they do the leagues there.
Nice, nice. Fun times. Did you guys like finish up high, finish up low, finish up? You know what? We're drinking, so we don't care.
We finished Middle Child.
Yeah, we made Middle Child. It was our first, all three members were first Skeezen players, so it was kind of a big deal that we made the middle, so we're pretty excited.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, we got knocked out the second game, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Which, by the way, the people that knocked us out were the ones that went on to win the championship, so...
How can you be upset?
Right, so it's not like I was, like, you know, in fifth place. It was almost like I was in second.
How...
That's a little warped way of thinking about it.
I mean, I lost to the winner. I didn't lose to the loser, so...
It's like every team that the Cubs beat, you know, you got to give it to the champs.
Right. You can't feel bad because you lost to the champs.
Yeah. Now, is it... How long are the seasons? Are they just a couple months long, or...
I think it's like 13 weeks... Yeah, like 13 weeks. And then they do multiple Skeezens in a year. So April 21st at Full Circle Bar, they are holding the, what do they call it? The draft party for their Skeezen 26. So they have like 3-4 Skeezens in a year.
So that means, because by the time this gets to air, we're recording this on the 13th. So by the time this airs, it'll be after that. So you're talking about the past. So it's a weird like...
Right, so
nostalgically looking at
when it began. Draft party's already happened. Suck it if you didn't make it. Yeah, we got our team set up and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. I'm always interested in like hearing about fun little things in Austin to do and like that. I mean, indoor activity, skee ball, beer, good all combination. You know,
it's like bowling but lazier.
True.
And it just got a good environment of people. It's super fun. And we've actually done a bunch of shirts for different little teams, which we'll touch on later. Oh. But it's actually just been a cool experience for us. And we're super excited to start it again.
Cool. Well, actually, that's a good, I like that because that was going to introduce me to the next thing I was going to talk about. You guys helped us put together the shirts and did all the screen printing and everything for it. So, one, thank you very much. Like, it was an awesome job, and we're going to be, hopefully by the time this airs, you should be able to purchase it.
Online.
Yeah. Check that out at jettheoryradio.com. That's when stuff will become available. That reminds me, I need to get more from you guys too. So, you know, another order coming up in the future here. But talk to me a little bit about that. What's it like doing the business? Have you guys are just starting getting off the ground? What's happening?
It was something I did, a little bit in high school. Friends of mine, we would go to the hobby stores and buy the old much less crude than what I'm using at the moment. Where we would create the screens and just lay them out in the sun with a Sharpie drawing on it and let the image burn and do it that way. And it was not as good as what we're doing now, but so I dabbled in it a while back and kind of got the itch to do it again and make a business out of it. I've been doing a lot of graphic design throughout the years and had decided, you know, like I'd always wanted like, you know, a way to transfer it to a medium that could sell rather than have it in a digital form. And what better way to do it than to shirts, you know, like I always thought like, oh man, that'd make a cool shirt. Well, now I can make a cool shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you just throw it up on a website or, you know, get it out to people and go with it.
Yeah, and the best part about it is, like, I don't actually have to make the shirt to sell it, to post it up there to sell it. I can post the concept of the shirt. And if there's interest, you know, somebody wants to buy it, cool, I'll print the shirt, single shirt, and I can sell it. You know, it's not like other businesses where you have to have a stockpile of your product.
It's not a huge commitment.
Right.
Yeah.
So... You know, I can try a design here and there, and if it fails, it fails. It doesn't matter. I sold at least one or two off of it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't banking my success on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your livelihood wasn't sitting there in jeopardy. This doesn't sell. Oh, I'm bankrupt.
Right.
Done.
Now I have a bunch of shit in my garage.
Okay. How does the screen printing work? Because I've been to a comic convention where they did a lot of that screen right there on the show floor. Like, you pick the design, you pick the color shirt, and they did it right then and there. Is it, like, just a huge machine that comes on down, or, like, do you print it out? I mean, what's that end of the process, if you want to get into that?
They have machines like that you can do. They call them direct-to-garment printers, where it basically just behaves like an inkjet printer. It basically behaves like an inkjet printer where, you know, you attach a shirt to this board and it goes through underneath the inkjet, I don't know what you would call it, the hammer or whatever, and it would just print exactly like it would on paper.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a little more detailed images that way, but I don't like that. I think it's lazy. I think it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, screen printing the way I do it, the way most people do it, is literally with another name for it is silk screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's screen printing with a silk screen, and what it is you know, it's a sheet of silk that, mm-hmm. Based on how it's woven together, there's micro holes in it that, mm-hmm. You know, ink and whatever can pass through it. And what you do is you create the image and you create a negative of the image,
mm-hmm.
and you block it out with photopolymer emulsion. And when it's exposed to UV light, that emulsion hardens. It becomes like a shell.
Mm-hmm.
But if the light doesn't touch it, which is what you make your negative image, you place the negative image on top of it, the light is not hitting that part of it, and mm-hmm. it washes right out of the screen. So now you have basically a stencil,
uh-huh.
that you then you line it up on the machine and you lay it down on the shirt, and the ink passes right through it, but mm-hmm. it doesn't pass through the shell.
Uh-huh.
So
we're starting off with a four press right now, mm-hmm. so there's different variations of it, but we're starting off with the four mm-hmm. press.
Is that mean then that like you can do four shirts at once, or is everything like a shirt at a time kind of thing?
It's a shirt at a time. What the four color press means is that because you have to line up the screen. So if you're doing, if you want a shirt with four colors on it, kind of like the one you're wearing right now,
mm-hmm.
each color would have its own screen. Mm-hmm. So
blue would get one, white would get one, gray would get another, yellow another.
Right, mm-hmm. and since it's on a black shirt, your white would be the dot. Well, the white would basically be the whole image.
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole image, and then another screen would just have openings for the yellow part, and you would lay the yellow on top of the white,
yeah.
and you would then lay the blue mm-hmm. on top of the white.
Very similar to like the old four color process within printing comics. Like they did that same thing. It was like
they had a base, and then they would lay the colors on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a process. Printing, which I don't do, it's a little more advanced, but that it really mostly only works with lighter garments. Mm-hmm. But it's they're thinner inks, mm-hmm. and you do this CMYK color spectrum, and you can lay them on top of each other, and as they blend, you can create these detailed, almost photographic images
mm-hmm.
with just four colors and a couple screens.
So do you get like just starting off and everything like that? Like you did the shirts for us. I know you've done it for a few other people. Is it just doing small potatoes right now, letting it grow, and just keep until it keeps on going?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like for it to grow as fast as possible, but, you know, I have no problem doing smaller orders. I think mm-hmm. the biggest order we did was 250 shirts, I think.
Oh, wow.
Was the biggest order we did, mm-hmm. which, I mean, comparatively, that's, I mean, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, there's people pumping out 1,000 shirt orders, you know, but mm-hmm. I have the capacity to do that, I choose not to at the moment, because that mm-hmm. takes a lot of time.
And we also went with the concept of, you know, you start off, and you're going to have to say no, you're going to have to set expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. if we wanted to have people come back, because referral business is going to be huge for us,
mm-hmm.
There's so many print shops in Austin, so having a kick-ass website doesn't mean that much. It's word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, who did you use? I love your t-shirt. It's also a community. So for us, it's like the worst thing we could ever do was start off and overcommitted.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, if we didn't have time for something, and a lot of it was we were trying to establish other parts of it, and so mm-hmm. that kind of became second focus of the actual orders.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is fine, but that means we had to start really small. And also mm-hmm. learn our craft
mm-hmm.
so that we could actually evolve.
Oh, yeah. And I know, we here at the podcast have been dealing with that because at first we were really, you know, we got to do audio, got to do visual, got to get everything out there. And just, I think we just pretty much stretched ourselves out a little bit too much. So it was cut down to let's do the basic of it. And the core of it was the podcast. All right, we do the podcast for a little while, see how that goes. We'll keep all the video stuff up, but we can always edit that later. So. Yeah, you start, get that good foundation going, and just going crazy. Hey, what's up, pup?
He just wants to say hello.
And the number one thing I think mm-hmm. I've read in every single starting a new business is the word no is the strongest thing you can have as your backbone. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's going to put you in a place of comfort, and it's actually going to let you grow the way you should be growing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you sit there and you just overcommit yourself and overdo things, it's just, you're going to just fall face first into fail. And it's not going to be good at all. So, yeah, like you were saying, setting expectations, mm-hmm. It's exactly where you need to be.
It helps with your consistent quality when you start small and you don't, you know, you're like, oh, well, yeah, I have the capabilities to do that. I don't have the time and the experience to do it. And then you just pump out something too fast. And that you're representing yourself with garbage.
Mm-hmm.
For us, even trying new inks or trying new screens, we were like, oh, okay, this will be, you know, last time it took us an hour to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly we, you know, ran into all different issues. So it was like kind of, we had to get to know the product really well.
Oh, yeah.
So we can make mm-hmm. the best product. So it's a lot of trial and error.
Oh, yeah. Indeed, indeed. Okay. Let me see here. So we have social media here. This is going to be something too that we're going to plug on the post itself when we get this out for you guys. But do you want to? We'll save that for the end there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting a bit too ahead of myself because you guys did a really good job on the shirts and I really like them. Like that.
To be fair, it was a great design to work with. So.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, Brent Hall.
Much props to your friend.
Yep, Brent did. Awesome. Went above and beyond for that. So I was thankful for that. Like, seriously, I still remember, like, the day, Linda, you showed up with the first set of the shirts, and I knew I was in awe. And I was just like, oh, yeah.
We still get excited after every batch. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a batch that we haven't gotten excited about and mm-hmm. sit around, like, take pictures. And even if we're rushing that order, we're like, we got to get pictures. Mm-hmm. We're just so excited by them. They're just awesome.
And there's a gallery that you can pull up on our social media Yeah, there's a lot of shirts mm-hmm. that I'm really excited that we did.
And I take it then you're still relatively small, so there hasn't been the one that's been like, ugh. Oh,
yeah. I wouldn't say that. That's we won't talk about that.
Actually, I think one of the ones that had a fault was one of our own t-shirts we were making for ourselves for the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up till like 4 or 5 in the morning and then had to get up for the march.
Oh,
and we had just gotten, I mean, we went through, we had ran out of adhesive, which for us, it was just not that mentality yet, mm-hmm. which now it will be. Now we'll have always 10 cans on hand. But running out made a huge impact.
That's one of the things when you start small, you don't want to overextend on your supplies because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't know when you're going to get that next paycheck to reimburse yourself for those supplies. So, you know, it's like, you know, you got what you can get afford. So the you know, we'll run out of ink and it's like, fuck. I'm in the middle of a fucking shirt order. I need to go get some more. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have two really great print shops in town or print supply shops in town that we go to. There's River City Graphic Supply and there's GSG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's always good. You know, just because, like, if we run out of something here with the podcast that we need, we got to, like, order on Amazon or something like that, or essentially just go someplace and pay 4 times the amount of that. So it's nice to have that, like, good in-town place to, like, stop in case of emergency. Shop here.
I wish I could buy my print supplies on Amazon and get it, you know, you get Prime. The Prime Now, if it was on Prime Now, like 1 hour delivery. You know,
I have yet to order anything on Prime that's like Prime Now, and I thought that something I ordered this morning would like arrive here by tonight, and it didn't. And I'm like, well, I can't be too upset, you know.
Prime Now is amazing, man. Like, mm-hmm. like unfortunately, like we're in an area where they don't deliver. The Prime Now doesn't deliver to them. Well, maybe to you guys, I'm not sure, but
they do.
We're right across on Slaughter, and they're like, nah, fuck you guys.
But our best Prime Now story ever was, it was Sunday night, I was cleaning, he was making pasta, we were all excited because
The Force Awakens was about to come out, and we're like, man, we should marry.
Let's go through all 6 of them. And so he had the prequels.
I had the prequels on DVD, but we have the originals on VHS, but we don't have a fucking VHS player.
So I go, where he's like making dinner, and I'm like, man, I really want to go on to the next one. And so I was like, let me just try Prime Now.
Mm-hmm.
It got there just as we were serving dinner, and it was a Sunday night at like 6 p.m., and we got the next 3.
Nice.
Super excited.
And it was great.
So you're probably excited for the trailer. Well, that if we talk about it now.
Tomorrow. Well, yeah. 2 weeks ago, the trailer came out. Oh, it was fucking awesome.
It was great. It's spectacular.
Or, pause. That was garbage.
What the fuck was that nonsense? Oh my god!
You can edit whichever one based on how it turns out.
Or just keep both. I think we're just gonna keep that whole thing.
I mean, you can, yeah. But you know, Although, I give you the options.
Although chances are, from what I heard a little bit with the celebration that's going on today, that it was very positive reviews. Like they do for like any like public events nowadays, they confiscated all the cameras, played it for everyone, and then you just heard the reactions of people describing it. So I've got high hopes, but that's for Mignogna.
I was a big fan of Force Awakens. I know that.
And Rogue One.
I know. Rogue One, hands down, was way better. But you got a lot of jaded folks that crapped all over Force Awakens. It's a rehash, blah, blah, blah. You know, they worked with the formula they knew would work. And it's like, no shit. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
If you wanted to have the same feel, then yeah, you have to have the same.
Right, and it's setting it up. And that's the whole, I feel, theme behind Star Wars. Is that it's a history repeats itself type story. It's the space opera, you know, whatever. But its theme is beware of history or it will repeat itself.
Yes.
And that's with, you know, and that was Vader, you know, started it. But if you want to get back in and get real nerdy, the extended universe. Rest in peace. expanded universe, whichever one they call it. I think it was expanded. The extended universe. Rest in peace. You know, why'd you do that, Disney? But they had great content, and that kept in with a lot of the older stuff, the older history of Star Wars. It was, you know, it had that theme still, where people thousands of years ago. Vader is just a mimic of that, you know. It was so it was more, I feel, apparent than the movies make it, but we're diverting into a realm.
Not too much, because it reminds me that, you know, if you seriously have an opinion about Star Wars and you want to talk about it with us, you come on the podcast and you have one of these nice little battles that we're about to get into.
Right. If somebody wants to disagree with me on the Star Wars, bring it, bitch.
Well, for right now, Mr. Shady Justice.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready to battle.
You're ready to battle. All right. Are you guys ready to battle?
That means yes.
All righty. Well, for today's battle, on this episode, we've decided that we're going to sit here and we're going to debate what was the best Saturday morning cartoon show. Now, in knowing all our picks, there really isn't any bad shows here. And honestly, there are a ton of great shows out there. But, you know, we're sticking with our picks. We're going with it, and we're going to defend it. For myself, I decided to go with one that's dear to my heart, that's a great classic, and that is DuckTales. The tale of Scrooge McDuck and his three nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. It's just great. You get Launchpad McQuack. It got pretty much the start of the, if you wanted to call it an extended universe, the Disney cartoon extended universe.
Darkwing
Duck was a spinoff of it. It launched, Goof Troop, Tailspin, Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I mean, it all was a part of that universe, and DuckTales was the first to go. So for that reason and many more, I am backing DuckTales.
Which... it also opened up the question of why do all the other ducks sound normal and Donald still can't say anything?
Is it
okay to be different?
It's okay to be different, but like, I mean, why does Donald sound like a duck, but all of his relatives, they're like, what are you talking about? Like,
I will defend that ducktastic theory here in a few moments.
Okay.
Mr. Murren,
yeah.
I believe it's your pick next.
Mr. Justice Imposter.
The obvious choice is Transformers.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Obvious.
Especially in this conversation.
For those who may, I don't know, not understand Transformers or know about them. Why Transformers?
More than meets the eye. What are Transformers?
Besides robots in disguise.
Besides robots in disguise.
A toy line turned into a marketing.
They're robots in disguise.
Besides more than meets the eye.
And Decepticons and Autobots. And Who doesn't know about the Transformers?
it's got Shia LaBeouf.
We got to be specific here because, yeah, a lot like younger people may just know the movies and they haven't seen the cartoon. Sadly. Or they saw like the Transformers Armada cartoon. Like there's a bunch of iterations of Transformers.
Or what is it, Dinoformers?
Dinobots.
Dinobots, yeah.
There we go.
So if you could get into some of the details about the specific Transformers series that you're talking about and we can take it from there.
So really, what it is Megatron versus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day with, I guess, the newer iterations of, who was Shia LaBeouf's car in the movie?
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Yeah. Bumblebee wasn't there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning? Oh, that's right, Bubble. I'm getting that confused.
He wasn't a 2000 Camaro.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's where.
Yeah, he was a bug.
He's a bug.
Yeah,
that's right. So originally, Bumblebee, which makes sense,
mm-hmm.
was a bug. Back in the day, also, it was just more of a family-friendly cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
it was a commercial for toys.
Yeah. I mean, what made by Hasbro wasn't, but then again, whose cartoon wasn't promoting something?
I mean,
that's mm-hmm. what you do for kids. I mean, that's the idea. Oh, I want that. So mom and dad have to go and buy that. But this was, mm-hmm. by the way, of all of them, this was probably also the ultimate one at doing that too.
Right. No. Well,
so
yeah,
I went at that too.
It's the first show that was actually created because of a toy line,
correct?
To sell the toys,
correct?
And I actually, I like.
And they didn't do a damn bad job at it either.
No. They did an amazing job of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also all of the references for those who are more adult throughout all of Transformers, a little bit. References to stoner culture and other things going on within Transformers for the adults watching as well. I don't know if your guys's go into any of that.
I'm pretty sure these all have like jokes that are geared toward adults. So like, you know, hey, adults, you get
that now.
Kids aren't going to know anything.
Yeah, I do got to say probably a little bit of that here and there.
I do got to say it was I think the only one that had copycats because you had the McDonald's kids meal toys that were a burger. That turned into a robot.
Yeah.
And you had the milkshake that turned into a robot.
Well, eventually, at every time, everything,
right, everything
turned into a robot.
Your lipstick turned into a robot.
Well, Ghostbusters had a knockoff brand of Ghostbusters.
So actually,
that's true.
We'll get to that in a second,
mm-hmm.
but that's not true.
Well, you're in.
Okay.
Nice segue to my show, yeah. which is The Real Ghostbusters. I say the real Ghostbusters because I can't legally say the Ghostbusters without talking about Filmation's Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think that Filmation was the knockoff. Filmation's Ghostbusters, which is what they call the animated series, was based off of ABC. No. I forget the network, but
mm-hmm.
it was a live-action TV show in 1975 called The Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly the same formula. Actually, it was the cartoon characters' parents. They were Ghostbusters. They were more of they were like scientists. It was a little more sciencey than the actual like Ghostbusters that we all know and love.
Uh-huh.
And they had a pet, and they had a gorilla, a talking gorilla that followed them around and helped bust ghosts. That's not the show I'm talking about, but that's the mm-hmm. one. So a lot of people get confused and think that that's the spinoff or the imitator, but it's mm-hmm. not. The reason that The Real Ghostbusters is called The Real Ghostbusters is because ABC didn't want to pay Filmation to use the word Ghostbusters. They just mm-hmm. threw the real in there and got over licensing fees.
I'm getting a little hazy. Wasn't it at one point also called Slimer and The Real Ghostbusters? Is that the same show or a different one?
It's the same show from the fourth season on.
Fourth season on. Okay. Just making sure I'm getting the connection there.
It was called Slimer and The Real Ghostbusters from the fourth season on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why they did that, but
probably to capitalize after the movies came out. Like Slimer was more like the kid thing to approach.
Slimer was in the he was hanging out with them throughout the whole animated mm-hmm. series. The animated series came out after the movie to continue on with the story, which they did a really great job of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why they went with Slimer and the real Ghostbusters. I could look it up while Linda's talking and explain it to you. But yeah, so the real Ghostbusters, Columbia was able to, they actually paid Filmation to use Ghostbusters for the movies. That's why the movies are called Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
But the animated series, they didn't. They, you know, that's a lot of money for a continuing series to have to pay Filmation. Mm-hmm. So they just slapped the reel on there and got around licensing fees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go into more details on that. Oh, it also has the greatest Bill Murray impersonator, who did the voice of the Garfield animated series as well,
mm-hmm.
which we all know that Bill Murray did Garfield in the movies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Many, 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 many years later.
It was a nice little like crossover. Like, you know, President Lincoln had a secretary named Johnson, and then President Kennedy. Or had a secretary named Kennedy, and President Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. One of those, like, little, look at this.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and of all the original Ghostbusters in the movie, the only one that auditioned for the voice acting work was Ernie Hudson, and they decided to go in a different direction because Arsenio Hall sounded more like Winston, even though Ernie Hudson was Winston.
So you're saying Arsenio Hall was good at doing accents.
Arsenio Hall was better at being Ernie Hudson than Ernie Hudson was at being Ernie Hudson.
That's like the Lewis Black joke. Like, he went to CBS and he had to audition to be himself on his own TV show, and they went with somebody else. It's like, what? What? Studio magic.
Yeah. And they got rid of the guy who was the Bill Murray impersonator to get Dave Coulier, who sounded more like Bill Murray.
Yeah. It's weird when you think Full House, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
There's a lot.
It's a good guy. It's the same.
The 80s shared actors and voice actors like it was a goddamn orgy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sloppy seconds.
A lot, yeah.
So my pick is The Muppet Babies, which obviously is Jim Henson. And the thing I loved about Muppet Babies was it was nostalgic for me. It was a motion based, this one, because the whole premise of the show was imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was imagination. Every time they had a scene, if they were on a pirate ship or if they were like on another adventure, it was never real.
Mm-hmm.
It was always based in their nursery. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it is there was actually no adults. So even though the nanny, the legs, that was it,
mm-hmm.
and her little striped, lovely tights, it gave you the option to not connect to that person.
Because
you don't know who it was. So it was only children. And it was like, the premise was, if they had to conquer I remember reading about going to the dentist for the first time. And it was this whole escapade. And the only time they'd have an interruption if this nanny came in to check on them, or things just got overwhelming, and they would, next thing you know, they'd dissolve right back into their nursery.
Step back to reality.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is they also use, I think it's one of the first shows, they interjected live stock footage of Indiana Jones.
I remember that now. Oh.
Like, they would always have these little clips that came in. So, when they were on this adventure, they're, running, and there's Indiana Jones right behind them or something like that.
There's, if I'm remembering one correctly, the one that comes to mind is Indiana Jones, the ball rolling, and I think Gonzo is Indy.
I don't know if it was that, but I know exactly.
Yes,
And I think the reason
Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I love that show so much was, when I look back at my childhood, I don't remember what toys I had. I mean, I know I went on great vacations, but for me, it was the way that me and my sisters would interact. Like, we didn't play with toys. We would make a diner, or we'd play shop, or we'd have sharks, and we'd do horses, and we were at stalls. It was just all imagination.
Oh, yeah.
So that whole show kind of, I don't know if it would make it today with today's kids. I really don't, because there was nothing, it was just purely imagination.
Attention spans are too short these days. So you got that.
And it didn't. And the other thing is, it doesn't cater to adults at all. So most shows will have either an adult or something, and there's a snark comment. It was purely just for kids. No parent would actually watch it.
Really what Jim Henson wanted from the show, if anything, was just keep it all imagination. Keep it just let the kids be kids and do their thing. Okay. Well, before we get into the big just free for all here in a moment or two. Since we are talking, Peter Cullen, looking at him and his stuff, in Transformers, obviously he was Optimus Prime, Ironside, Streetwise with some of the credits here for him. On Ghostbusters, he was Eddie Spencer Jr., Sr., Haunter, Flozart. I'm blanking on who those characters are there.
Some of those were actual ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Muppet Babies, he played additional voices, particularly in the episode Fozzie's Family Tree. And then in DuckTales, he was Admiral Grimmitz, Bankjob Beagle, Mad Dog McGurk, a whole variety there. I mean, you look at this guy's Wikipedia page, he's got a whole variety of stuff. So I think it's awesome that we all chose something that he's on, so no one of us can say, well, I had the great Peter Cullen on my show and you didn't.
Right, so in to kind of, you know, I had two Transformers in my show. We had, you said Optimus Prime. Well, Frank Welker, who played Ray Stantz in the animated series, mm-hmm. was also Megatron
mm-hmm.
in the animated series. So, you know, I don't know if that counts for anything, Gail.
It doesn't.
No. No.
I'm sure it does.
Okay, sure.
All right, so those are some shots fired. I see we're looking on our phone and stuff. We're not getting any buzz because sometimes the signal buzz.
No,
okay,
we're
good
on that.
Okay. So, have at it.
All right. So, here's my shots fired at your Ghostbusters. When people think Ghostbusters, do they think the animated series?
Well, okay. In thinking about that, there's...
Boom.
No. I'm saying that's... No, not right. Because there's pretty much on all these... Muppet Babies is animated. And only animation. But you think about Muppets. DuckTales... That's all Disney animation. Transformers, more people are probably going to think the live action nowadays than the original cartoon. And there's really not that much that distinguishes your cartoon versus any other iteration of Transformers because they all use the same characters. Beast Wars Transformers, where it was all computer animated, but they were all a different animal. There was Armada. I mean, there was a bunch of different ones. So yours, I think, works... more for a certain time period, for a certain age you're growing up. Does that make it the best? I don't know, because a lot of those themes and characters were able to be in other kind of series and still work out really great and still be successful.
Well, I think that lends to it.
I do got to say that my series, by the way, had a successful live-action movie that didn't Michael Bay suck.
That's not fair.
I mean,
that's
it is.
Not fair.
It is. It is. Kind of fair.
We're just talking about the cartoon.
Right,
don't
right.
bring that nastiness.
So you would ask when people think of Ghostbusters, do they think of the animated series? And I say yes, because me growing up, and I'm sure many other people in and around before and after my time period, watched the animated series no matter what their age was. And that was what the whole marketing line was based off. If you got a Ghostbusters toy, it wasn't based on the movie. It was based on the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where you got the Ecto-1. That was where you had the little the firehouse with the slime that came down it.
Mm-hmm.
It was all of its marketing, all of its everything, which we talked about earlier about it being marketing, and all of it was.
Mm-hmm.
All of the 80s was marketing and stay off of drugs. But, I think that it all flows together, and it wasn't something that was separate, and it was something that was an addition to.
Okay.
And I would also
I'll let you have that. I don't agree at all.
I'd also knock down Transformers a little bit, where if you were talking about 80s cartoons or just like cartoons in general, when they did the whole anti-drug cartoons All-Stars to the Rescue, Transformers weren't on it.
Yep.
Muppet Babies were.
Why?
Ghostbusters were.
Why were Transformers
DuckTales
not?
Were as well.
I do have to say, though.
Could it be because of the creators?
I do have to say,
licensing,
though,
probably.
If
anything.
I do
you
have
think
to
Hasbro?
Say.
Hasbro?
Yeah.
I think Hasbro was
G.I. Joe
on.
Wasn't on it. That was also Hasbro.
Okay, fair. We can look that up.
I was actually going to say, like, I got to say, out of all of them, and this one that we're not talking about, was G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe was the leader in setting moral examples.
Yeah,
for
I'd like
their
to,
viewers.
I mean, an honorable mention of G.I. Joe mm-hmm. and Turtles.
Yeah, those who couldn't be here today.
G.I. Joe, I think. G.I. Joe, I think, led because like they weren't just like, oh, we're going to, at the end of the episode, we're going to say, hey, kids, stay off drugs. We're going to write a whole episode about why drugs are destroying this kid's life and the G.I. Joes take a break from saving America to save this kid from drugs.
Mm-hmm.
like that was kind of their writing style.
Was Beetlejuice too was Beetlejuice after that? Yes. Drugs thing?
Yeah,
because yeah. That would be really
and I think
weird
that'd be too
said,
weird of a character
don't
have
do,
on there.
Yeah, kids don't do drugs and then watch Beetlejuice.
I think, I think because Beetlejuice, I think, came out in the 90s. I think in the 90s, they were kind of like, let's let McGruff handle the stay off drugs thing. And we're just gonna mindlessly entertain kids.
McGruff.
So part of lending like the experience to your guys' stuff was the toys. There wasn't very many DuckTales toys.
That's what I was going to say. Like when we talked about merchandising beforehand,
yeah.
I was going to say, to the credit, yours lacks any of that. So mm-hmm. It was more of the entertainment value than the peddling mm-hmm. of
shelf. Same with Muppet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I would say with Muppets, like it's almost the exact opposite of Transformers, where it was all based on imagination
mm-hmm.
and there was no toys. It was just, you know, and mm-hmm. then yours is based
yeah.
off of toys. There's that lack of a, and for me,
oh,
it's
straightforward,
it almost spawned
yeah.
it. It almost spawned how we've transitioned into more of how much could it make rather than how could it make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, that's what I was saying. Transformers was created to peddle mm-hmm. merchandise. Not like, oh, hey, we got the Ghostbusters. Let's make some merchandise off of it.
And if you think about it, any of the great moments of Transformers that you can think about, back to the animated stuff, a.k.a. the death of Prime, Rodimus Prime then taking over,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff came from them when they first did the movie. It was at, like the first season had started to come out, and they realized, oh, we got a potential hit on our hands. We need to make a new toy line. Let's kill off all the old characters, make a really dark movie, and that was pretty much the inspiration for Rodimus Prime, for Ultra Magnus, for Springer.
You do bring up a nice, interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is the only one that goes dark.
I would actually honestly
I know, isn't that messed up for a second?
I gotta say the Ghostbusters, there were episodes of the Ghostbusters that creeped me the hell out.
But how many?
They had the Boogeyman episode where they went into the closet realm. That shit was scary.
Oh yeah, for children. Yeah.
They usually had
that
stuff.
Shit is scary to me now. I think back on the image of the Boogeyman that they created, that long nosed, purple faced, fucking goat hooved
mm-hmm.
like demon who could creep into your bedroom at night. I was afraid of the dark as a kid because of the Boogeyman. Not the Boogeyman that the parents tell you about, because the one that the real Ghostbusters told me about. That was scary.
I was more afraid of like the dark as a kid because of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Okay.
But we're talking about animated here.
going to the cartoons. Yeah, sticking to that.
But yeah, no, I would say that the Ghostbusters battled darkness every day.
Well, true, but it didn't get. Transformers went a different style of dark.
You went dark so that you could paint your action figures a different color and sell that as a different person.
Yeah.
True. Also, I'm not denying that. We did it well. We did it probably to the tune of better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But we also went dark in a very, like, war dark realm. I mean, they got,
mm-hmm.
like, Transformers almost got political. And what is Ranger doing back there? Hi, Ranger.
He's trying to get the pillow comfy for him.
All right. I got distracted.
Yeah.
I don't think he's mounting it. He's just trying to get it flat so he can lay on it.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. Adorbs break.
So, yeah, adorable is happening behind me as I'm trying to talk about dark Transformers.
I think it's a sign that you need to step off that because,
okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's where you're losing. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I know I'm losing. I mean, I'm fully aware that.
Little,
you know, you're the dark horse in this one.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. I mean, I should have gone. I really wanted to go with the G.I. Joe, but I went with Transformers because
mm-hmm.
I wanted Transformers in the
right.
conversation.
That, and I think one of the things that aside from my business, I also work at a television station, which we have kids shows that we air on Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain rules, and I think Transformers might have actually been the precedent for these rules,
mm-hmm.
is you're not allowed to peddle products in shows anymore like that.
Yeah.
We cannot have any advertisement. So
mm-hmm.
so say we had Mickey Mouse
mm-hmm.
to air on our show. We can't have any commercial that features Mickey Mouse in it because then it presents it
mm-hmm.
as we are advertising to minors, to children.
I wonder if that's in part why they have you ever seen those old band Flintstones commercials where they're smoking cigarettes and endorsing cigarettes? I wonder if that's where it came from.
And it was kind of, it was really bad in the 60s and 70s. And in the 80s, kind of, it was teetering off where they're like, let's just peddle toys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what you're doing is you're talking about the subliminal advertising.
Right. And that's immoral.
Yes. And that's where the laws started happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You cannot advertise to children and then have a whole 30-minute advertisement
mm-hmm.
for children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can have, like, toy commercials during your children hours or whatever, but if that toy is in the show, is based on the show that you are showing them,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's become this 30-minute-long commercial advertising towards kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing I... When I do it, the one without the advertising that I would have thrown out there is my personal favorite, and that'd be Thundercats.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what hit me growing up.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm surprised you didn't go with that one instead of...
It would have been much harder to argue. I mean, it's just not as popular as the other one.
I don't know, so? I feel like you're having a hard time arguing Transformers.
I actually liked Transformers.
Yeah.
I did like Transformers, too. I mean,
if we were going to like say whoever won this was based on the toy... I think Transformers would win, hands down.
Exactly. I mean,
have the best toys out of
anything.
You
don't beat that semi.
Their marketing campaign was locked tight.
Yeah.
Yep.
Little known fact about Transformers: the person who ended up naming a lot of them and creating a lot of the backstory for the characters was this big time comic book writer.
Mm-hmm.
Got paid nothing, like literally nothing, after like Optimus Prime and like everybody started blowing up. He just got it was work for hire stuff. Freelance work. He got paid after the job was done, and they ran with it.
Yep. Otherwise, so how do we decide a winner here?
Are we done arguing? Are you want to go straight to winner?
Did you want
to
add anything, Linda?
Well, I think I made my case.
Mm-hmm. See, because I would say,
I mean, Arsenio Hall. I had Arsenio Hall.
Oh, that means. I mean, what? How many times did he get canceled? That means you lost.
No.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall. It's amazing, regardless of
Arsenio Hall won Celebrity Apprentice.
Arsenio Hall.
Do you really want to back that horse?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll back that.
Ooh.
Well, can I just say one thing? There are three things to remember that was in Muppet Babies. Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
All live
Hey,
action.
can I point something out now that we just said that?
It's pretty epic.
There is
really
a certain person, a part of this conversation, that has not seen Indiana Jones.
Who are you referring to, Mr. Murren?
Ranger?
Scandal!
He's only a year old.
He's not registered to vote, and he has not watched Indiana Jones, folks.
Who's not registered to vote? Yeah, that's
what
I thought.
Yeah.
That's
what I thought. Right here.
That's what I thought with the accusations.
I'm actually more of a fan.
Let me tell you. I am a...
they were on Hulu recently, all three.
I think they're on Amazon Prime right now. So I have the chance to view them. Just, it's not... I've seen the first one. I've seen the very first one. And I know the story points of all the other ones. And I just...
You can skip Temple of Doom. Just you can
Yeah.
Skip. No, it's still a part of it.
You can skip it.
So can you also skip 4?
Oh.
Actually, I mean,
not
it's...
Part
yes,
of this.
It was very, 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 very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like that... they had Transformer Boy LaBeouf over there set up to be the next Indy Jones, which was
the worst.
Lame. The movie I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good litmus test. But it was fun. Like, okay, yeah. Oh, I survived a nuclear blast in a refrigerator. Yeah, no, you didn't.
And Old Girl was the worst. Like, clearly, you haven't been on screen in a long time.
Right, and they use it as an excuse to bring back what's her name from the first film.
Yeah, that's
don't look
about.
At me.
She was terrible.
Yeah, she was awful.
Oh,
she was awful.
Yeah.
He was looking at me like that, like I knew the answer.
I know.
Well, yeah,
he hasn't
seen
it.
It was mostly staring off into space, and you happened to be
just
in the
another
space
one
that
of
I was Steven's.
It was just another one of Steven Spielberg's ex-wives.
Linda,
it was
do you like Linda? How they're going on this indie tangent, completely ignoring the entire argument that we're going on because they're both losing.
She has no problem with that because she is in love with Harrison Ford.
This is true.
So we could talk about Indiana Jones all day. We could talk about Tom Hardy later all day.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
I would say, in terms of, I'm gonna phrase my argument, my defense of DuckTales this way, in terms of building a franchise, Transformers more or less recycled a lot of material with each iteration. It sort of stood on its own, but it recycled a lot of stuff, and it pretty much point was to sell toys.
Yeah.
And that's all they're living off of, just that.
Unoriginal.
With Ghostbusters, you had the movies, you had the show, you had the toys, and it sort of fizzled out. You don't hear of any like new Ghostbusters shows coming up or anything like that.
There was a spinoff in the 90s, the Extreme Ghostbusters. It was actually pretty successful, although very unknown.
Yep.
And, there you go.
And we just had...
You're pulling the strings right now.
And we just had the revival of the Ghostbusters last year with Kristen Wiig and Jenny McCarthy.
That would be the
Melissa McCarthy
SNL
Melissa McCarthy.
Version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Not fucking
really
anti-vaxxer Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. With the
Melissa
real
McCarthy,
Ghostbusters.
Spicy.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Which I thought was amazing.
With Muppet Babies... Jim Henson's still around. All the Muppets are still doing good stuff. Is it the Muppets or no? Sesame Street got bought by HBO. What did the Muppets? There was recent news about what Jim Henson's doing.
Well, Jim Henson is not doing.
Or Jim Henson Studios.
His studios were. They had that stupid Office ripoff Muppet show. The guy.
Oh yeah, that was it. That revival. Okay. Well, and they've had a couple of really good movies too lately.
Yeah,
so
they did.
With DuckTales, not only did you get DuckTales, but you got pretty much everything in the whole Disney extended universe going on. DuckTales, Tailspin, like we mentioned earlier.
You got number
Chip 10. And Dale.
You got number 10 who's doing the voice of Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, in the new series that are coming out, David Tennant is the voice of Scrooge McDuck, which, I'm sorry, that's going to sound great.
Yeah,
I am in love with that trailer.
I'm in love with him. Well, that'd be awesome.
Have you seen the video about them singing, like the whole new cast singing the old song? I mean, come on. That gets it.
It definitely... hit the nostalgia part of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
plus, David Tennant is a badass.
And I guarantee if I start singing the DuckTales song, everybody would start joining in and everybody here would know it. Transformers, you have a few words and a few sayings
Robots
in it.
In disguise.
Yeah. Real Ghostbusters, I couldn't even tell you what that was.
I think it was just instrumental.
And Muppet Babies, they'll make your dreams come true. Yep, just like that. So I'm saying from a kid's point of view, mine works better as an overall cartoon.
All right, so that's your final argument?
That's my final say on that.
All right, so we'll let him have final argument. So now we got to vote.
How do we want to just everybody vote for one of the others?
I do got to say, though.
Outside of your own.
Let me interject on this. I got to say, with DuckTales, it's a great show. Very memorable. It means a lot to me watching it growing up. It wasn't that big of a part of my childhood, aside from watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I dressed up as a Ghostbuster for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of Halloween, I wore my proton pack to the grocery store with my mom, busting ghosts in the aisles.
Okay.
But that wasn't just
this. This was like I wanted to grow up and be a Ghostbuster.
See, I think you had.
I didn't want to grow up and be a duck.
But I always was on the lookout for my number one dime.
Yeah, but that's just stingy. Like
the first dime.
Any
dime you pick up off the street corner, boom, DuckTales.
I feel like you had more impact by the movie.
No,
I feel like your love
for
Ghostbusters.
It was the show because the show continued on. The show I watched every Saturday morning for 6 years plus reruns. Like, that was a religious experience for me and my brothers was Ghostbusters. And for a while there was four of us, so we all got to be one of the Ghostbusters. Then we got the fifth one, and he had to be fucking Slimer or whatever, you know. But it's whatever. But yeah, Ghostbusters was, I think, a bigger part of my childhood than DuckTales ever was. And Transformers simply for the toys, but I didn't really, I didn't have that many of the Transformers toys.
So then if it came down to
who's
one of these other shows that you had to pick,
who are you
if
picking?
It came down to one of the other shows,
it's on I do want to say one thing about Muppet Babies. Just last words. It stayed in our childhood. It didn't go out. It didn't have a live movie. It didn't have anything else. It just stayed in our childhood.
Well, it did have a live movie.
And I think it'll always just stay there. No, not of the Babies.
The Muppets Babies version.
Yeah.
Right, but the Muppet Babies grew up to be the Muppets.
No, the Muppets came out before them. Anyway, the Muppet Babies will always stay in the 80s. Well, it went to 91, but it will always stay there and never... I don't think they'll try to remake it.
Right, but we're not
and
talking
so it
about...
just it connects to just childhood. It doesn't continue to adulthood, and I think that's why it's awesome.
Final thoughts there? Okay.
All right.
So then...
we need votes. No more talking, just voting.
Yeah.
I'll start. Because I got no problem starting.
And we have to vote for one that's not ours, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
This is tough for me. So my two choices are really Muppet Babies and DuckTales. And for me, I hate this, that I'm going to do this.
Oh, no, you're going to DuckTales.
I'm going to go with DuckTales. Damn it, I'm voting for Jetters.
Oh!
It's like the first time ever I'm voting for yours.
Is
although
it?
Muppet Babies, see, the Gonzo moment... it's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah,
between those two, because that just Muppet Babies has so many, just like moments in my memory.
I think you need to go with it.
Finally,
but so does DuckTales.
Yeah,
like
if you're gonna go out there, just go with your final.
Yeah, I'm going DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Okay. I'll go next. For me, like Ghostbusters, just it was one of those background ones. I was more into the movies and stuff like that. Transformers, it was the movie that really like got me, and I can sit here and I can quote you line by line for that movie.
The animated movie.
Right. Yes.
Just to clarify.
Yes. I know he got it recently on Amazon.
I still listen to the soundtrack. I have the Blu-ray and everything.
I just didn't want us giving cred to Michael Bay there.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
Got it.
But then I remember, like, the Muppet Babies. And, yeah, when you talk about the imagination and stuff like that, that was what was happening as a kid. And really, I don't have a moment like that for the Transformers TV show outside of Prime coming back and being red like I do for the Muppet Babies. So since I, like, right now have more off the fact that I can go with Muppet Babies, I'm going there.
So for me, I think I would have actually picked second was automatically DuckTales. Because I remember actually watching it in the mornings, but I remember every day coming home from high school and actually watching it even then. Mm-hmm. Like after school, it was like my favorite thing to run home to.
Like the Disney afternoon block or something like that they
had?
Something
like that, because it was like right when I got home, it would start playing. So DuckTales for sure.
Yeah, I do remember that actually too.
Mm-hmm. Ranger, what you got? What you got?
Oh, now he's quiet.
Now he gets quiet.
I'm not even going to debate it out in my head. I'm going to have to go with Muppet Babies.
So it's a tie.
It's a tie. I don't know.
It's a heartbreaker tie.
Nathan in here. He's.
He already said he liked DuckTales.
Yeah, he already did say DuckTales.
Yeah.
Well, let's not bring him in.
Let's just call it a tie. I think we should be able to tie. I think a tie is a real thing.
Your Facebook page put a.
I think we should get comments
on your Facebook page. You should put a little war to see who they would pick out of those two.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of upsetting to me though? Like I do like that idea. I can't on the Facebook fan page put a poll. Like you can create a poll for like your regular Facebook. So what I'll do is I'll share it to my account, and I'll create the poll there.
Yeah, and I'll
share
it
to mine.
Do.
And then we'll just do a poll combined vote? Okay.
You can create a poll on your website, though. A widget.
I could, but I think it's going to get a lot more exposure, and we're going to get a lot more votes on the Facebook stuff.
Yeah. Because it's just a click away.
So this one, we're going to go TBD, and it's just going to come down
TBD.
To those.
Which ones we have to include the other two as well.
No.
I know you're trying to pull votes your way there.
No.
But if you do want to put in your input on the fact that Ghostbusters was better than the other three, then you know you can do that.
You can leave that in the comments if you really believe that.
Right, and we'll
you'll get a bunch of likes from one Dave Gray.
Oh, I've got several accounts.
Dave, we lost.
He's on Facebook all day.
He's going to dislike every vote. Anger face.
All right. Well, that's the battle there for us. let's see. Strange week transition. You got to work on those a little bit better. Over to Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I have nothing.
You leaned in like you were going to say something. You said nothing.
And that's the weak transition. It's like silence. It's as awkward as silence, so it might as well be silence. Mm-hmm. But we are transitioning.
Transition.
This is the transition. Mini song.
Was Tom Hardy a part of any of these? Mm-hmm. He wasn't any Ghostbuster.
No,
nothing to do with Transformers.
He wasn't Batman.
Didn't he beat up Shia LaBeouf in maybe one of...
No, he starred with Shia LaBeouf in one of his movies.
Which one?
I actually saw it the other day. I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie.
It's that Western one, right? Tom
Hardy. He was the latest Max in Mad Max.
Yes. He was in The Drop. That was really good. Mm-hmm. He was the baker.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, the baker.
Oh, they did fight.
That's what I thought. I thought they had gotten into a fight. Lawless. There we go. There's our transition.
Lawless. Yeah, Indiana Jones, Muppet Baby.
We're already into the conversation.
Know,
we can't transition a few minutes into
it's
the combo.
Conversation well, you want to Tom segue, Hardy beat up Shia LaBeouf.
You want to segue? So we had Muppet Babies who did the Indiana Jones clips, the really crappy Indiana Jones that tried to transition Shia LaBeouf into being the next Indiana Jones. Tom Hardy
beat
stopped
up.
That by beating the crap out of Shia LaBeouf.
That's not so much a segue as 6 degrees of one topic to the next.
And full circle.
We baconed that.
Which is the bar you
baconed
play baseball at.
Baconed it. Kevin baconed it.
So with that in mind, I think this guy, he's... We've seen some good stuff.
Shia LaBeouf?
No. Tom Hardy. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Dave.
I mean, Holes was great.
Moving on.
So somebody, I would like to bring this up if we're going to have a Tom Hardy conversation, refuses so far to watch Taboo.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Taboo?
I haven't so much as refused to, as I don't have cable.
Access to it.
I'm the only one.
I'm not buying it on iTunes.
Yes.
Yay. For you.
It's good.
I'm very upset that I haven't seen it.
That's fine.
I guess
I hear great things about it, though.
Mm-hmm. I guess my thing is, like, in here lately, this is about any TV show. I wait until the season's out, and I want to watch a whole season at a time. I've just gotten so used to binge-watching stuff that I think it's much better. Like, I guarantee this past half season of Walking Dead that I've been watching, week by week by painful fucking week, I'm just over it. I'm done with weekly shows. I want that whole experience all in one grab. Like, there's so much more I enjoy from a story perspective. And so that's why I'm waiting on Taboo.
It's long been done.
Mm-hmm.
Like a month now.
Okay.
So it's just out there waiting for you.
I didn't have a chance to watch it all because of South by.
Yeah, okay. So you had a fair excuse.
Yeah.
Also, non-access.
I also haven't been jumping to watch it just because I've been getting more and more disillusioned with it.
With the show Taboo?
Taboo. Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead. Okay.
I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, we're talking about Tom Hardy.
I gave that as an example.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
I thought you were
yeah.
talking about not watching Walking Dead.
Oh, no. We're talking about Taboo.
Yeah, Taboo I haven't watched because I don't have cable and I'm not buying the show yet. So.
All right, so what's your favorite Tom Hardy?
Well, for me, I'm trying to think. There's so many of the beginning ones, but I feel like The Revenant, which is one of the most recent movies he did, God, you hated him.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean? And for me to hate Tom Hardy was like the hardest thing ever to have happen. But he made you just absolutely loathe him.
Mm-hmm.
He was awful.
Mm-hmm. I myself haven't seen Revenant, so I can't talk too much about
what?
That. Yeah, I know. Leo's acting nod, finally his victory.
Well,
his run or whatever.
His validation.
He does a good job of being hated in Peaky Blinders, too, because he goes straight up against, what is his name?
Right, but...
Cillian Murphy's character.
Mm-hmm.
You still like him in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, but I mean towards the end... Yeah.
You hate him because he's like the antagonist or whatever. He's an antagonist. He's not the antagonist.
Yeah, antagonist, yeah.
He is one of the antagonists. But you're still like, yeah, cool.
And I think even The Drop, I thought he was so good in that movie
because
it wasn't about the accent, it wasn't about a time period, it wasn't about anything. He was just, and for me, I always say this to Dave, is he's like to me, the most modern day Daniel Day-Lewis, where he acts from his fingertips all the way to his toes. Every single inch of him is always acting. It's not just the way he talks.
That's very clear in Taboo. It does come across cool that you watch him, and you're almost made in the beginning of Taboo to hate him. And then you kind of, well, that's a cool quirk. That's a cool quirk. And then you just slowly, over the course of the series, like him till he is the action. Then you're 100% behind him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's done like that. He's annoying in the beginning on purpose. And it's a lot of that. But then you start enjoying things. And it's not so much done with verbiage or scenes. Mm-hmm. It's just the way he's going about his business.
So is he the kind of guy, is like the actor, is he like Gary Oldman with the sense that, because, and I only say this off a few examples I know him in, is he the kind of actor that will sit there and he gets so into a role that you have to be told that, hey, that's actually Tom Hardy, to realize that it's him, like, behind the mask as Bane or in Taboo or something like that? Or does he have a recognizable enough face now where he can bank more off that?
I don't think that he does. He doesn't do much, like, masked or just, like,
makeup.
Makeup, yeah. Yeah. Like yeah, he's
pretty
like,
much just Bane.
I think he would have the
Bane
too.
He had the face on, but, like, you could hear it in his voice. Like, he did the weird Bane voice, but you could hear Tom Hardy behind that voice, which was, you know, it was definitely him character acting, but it was still recognizable. It wasn't like Gary Oldman where, like, you're like, holy shit, that vampire is Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. You know, you know.
I also noticed that, I mean, what Batman does is it does a good job of making Tom Hardy look huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him.
He was pretty jacked.
He's big and jacked, but he's not as big as you think he is. Yeah, he's not. And that comes across in Taboo. When they have some big guys that he comes across, it's like, oh, you're kind of normal sized, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't realize. I mean, and even in Peaky Blinders, he comes across as being pretty big. But
here's a couple other. I'm going to mention the movie. Tell me if you can think of who Tom Hardy is in the movie.
Okay.
Because he's going back. And this is on IMDb from 2001. Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, he's one of the.
I never saw that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the guys. I think he's one of the guys in the final room.
Twombly is what. Or,
yeah, he's Swambly. Okay. Yeah.
Band of Brothers.
I never saw.
Who is he in Band of Brothers? Yeah, which does it have an episode?
Points and Why We Fight. John A. Janovic. Is the character name?
Oh, I wonder if he's one of the guys that died.
So, okay.
It brings this up
this
point.
Is, you're talking about this okay. is I mean this is all like the start of his career type stuff. So
still,
so,
but yeah, if he's a recognizable face, you'd be able to like pick him out of line up there.
But if it was the beginning of his career, and if you don't do research on him, then you have no idea he was in those movies. But now he's a recognizable face, so you see him in everything now. If I saw Band of Brothers tomorrow and he came on the screen, I'd be like, oh shit, that's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying.
Right. But I haven't watched it recently.
He's the type that would make me watch something that I wouldn't normally watch just so I can see his performance. Though.
So you're saying you would want to sit through Star Trek Nemesis?
Yes.
Yes, and I hate Star Trek. Ooh, sorry.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Layer Cake.
Yes. Daniel Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He was in Minotaur.
What is Minotaur?
No idea what that is.
No idea. Flood. I'm just trying to like.
Is that like volcano?
Yeah.
I mean, he was in Inception.
Are you going backwards now?
It's the liquid volcano.
Sucker Punch.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bronson.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Bronson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was his breakout. That was like his thing.
That's when you knew he could play intense.
Thick as Thieves.
No.
Right. Don't know that one.
Inception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Oh, yes. Remember him in that?
He apparently is in.
He's going to be. Whoa. Did I just see that?
Just a cameo.
Oh, he's just a cameo as a stormtrooper? Yeah. Damn. Rumor. It's going to be one hell of a stormtrooper.
I was going to say, well, Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper.
Yeah, Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper. Yeah.
Daniel Craig isn't as big as Tom Hardy.
He was like.
Daniel Craig isn't as big as Tom Hardy?
Correct. Daniel Craig's short. Dude.
Oh, you're talking height. I'm talking about like
Tom Hardy's
proliferance as an actor.
Oh, no. I was talking about physicals. Like, Daniel Craig will fit in with the rest of the Stormtroopers. Tom Hardy may not quite fit in with the rest of the Stormtroopers size-wise.
I think what's different about him is he has his own little swagger.
You would hear the Bane voice through the Stormtrooper. If anything, that would help duplicate the Bane.
Yeah, that would actually be hilarious.
Oh, he needs to do the fucking Bane voice.
It'd be great if another, yeah, a Batman looking.
I was born with the Force.
Can you do that one more time for us?
You just came into the Force. I was born into the Force.
I was bred by this.
That's terrible.
So you're saying the midichlorians is a factor in him being a stormtrooper?
Mm-hmm.
Midichlorians can go.
So Batman is a Jedi?
No, Batman. No, I wouldn't say that.
Or is he a
Sith? Batman's a Han Solo. Batman's a Han Solo.
I mean, he's got a belt.
Yeah, he's got no powers that makes him special except for his mind and his physical attributes.
The one with the belt in Star Wars is kind of Chewbacca.
It doesn't matter.
Batman's kind of more Chewbacca.
I'm talking Luke Skywalker.
I mean, the way he grumbles too.
And it goes to Star Wars again.
Luke Skywalker would be the Superman. And Han Solo is the Batman.
No.
Just
no.
I'm saying out of that duo, you got Luke Skywalker, who's got the supernatural abilities that is unfair to other people that don't have supernatural abilities, and you got Han Solo, who did everything himself, like everything he has, he worked for. Well, which Batman didn't necessarily work for, but his strength, his fighting abilities, all of that is his own ability. Superman is like, oh shit, yellow sun, cool, fucking laser beams. Luke Skywalker's like, yeah, I got the Force, cool. That's Superman.
See, the better thing there would be, he's got two suns.
Yeah. He's born on Tatooine, so, you know, the two suns were keeping him down. No, and once he left Tatooine, he's like, oh, I'm so much stronger.
I'm going false equivalency on that all the way.
I'm saying if you were talking about you said Batman being a Jedi, and I said no.
I didn't say that.
Who said that? That was you. Somebody said that.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I was just kind of joking around.
Right. Then, well, that's what started the conversation. Batman would not be a Jedi. Batman would be a Han Solo type.
Uh-huh. Or Chewbacca. He grumbles.
This might be a dog. The geekiest conversation.
Yeah. It totally is.
You haven't listened to their podcast.
Actually, this fits right in.
Yeah.
I will say one thing about Tom Hardy that should be known. He is one of the best looking actors nowadays. And you think about it this way. The indicator of a great actor, though, is normally they would never cast him because it's hard to get lost. If someone's good looking, it's hard to get lost in the bad character of the person you're attracted to. But for him, that trumps everything. His acting just lets you lose yourself totally into the role he is in. So his looks never play a part, and he never leans on his looks.
I don't think he was that attractive in The Revenant with his jacked up teeth and scalped head.
But they know that. But they know that they can make him look not pretty. They know that he has the ability. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Taboo, he's not.
That.
He's scarred up and.
So again, that sort of brings me back a little bit to the Gary Oldman kind of thing. He loses himself into the character to the degree where you don't recognize him as Tom Hardy. You recognize him as the character more.
I just don't think. Yeah, I mean, he does,
mm-hmm.
but I don't. He's not on that Gary Oldman level.
But he's not as old as Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he's
when Gary Oldman first started out and Daniel Day-Lewis started out, like, that's why I think Tom Hardy is, and I think in 20 years, the roles that he's going to play in the next 20 years, I'm just so excited for him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, give it time. He's still early on. Yeah,
most of my favorite Gary Oldman is, I don't know if people have seen it, it's very small thing, but it's the BMW shorts that they did with Clive Owen as the driver. It's basically Clive Owen's kind of like introduction, but Gary Oldman played the devil, and James Brown himself came on to challenge the devil to a race, and he picked Clive Owen as his driver in a BMW, and what's his name? He's in he's Machete. Machete.
I just know him as that.
Oh, why am I mind blanking on that guy? But he's the driver for Gary Oldman, the devil. And Gary Oldman is fantastic. I wish he'd play an entire movie as the devil. And that's...
Well, he sort of did as Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah. But no, this was fantastic. This was like... Mm-hmm. This was eccentric devil.
Mm-hmm.
Like flamboyant, eccentric devil. Because James Brown is there. So James Brown is doing James Brown, and he's at the same time mimicking James Brown,
mm-hmm.
being as eccentric. And it was absolutely fantastic. I wish we could have seen the entire role of Gary Oldman doing that. But when you get to that, where you could do these little things, you come in and do that. If Tom Hardy gets to that, then he's taken this next level step,
mm-hmm.
that the Gary Oldmans, all the old guys, seems to have done. I think the next guy to do that is probably Leo. That now that Leo is producing,
he's done lots of great things. That just
but Leo, now that he's going to step back and produce for a little while, he's not going to probably play a major role,
He finally got his recognition.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're going to see him take some weird steps, which will probably be fun for all of us.
My favorite part of an actor's career is when they're like, "Fuck it." You know, like they're not. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to be like, "Oh, this role is going to get me."
Like
an
what
Academy
Michael
Award.
Keaton did.
Michael Keaton. Yeah, totally. With Birdman, like he's just fuck it.
Fuck
you
it.
Know, and now he's the.
I'm going to make fun of myself.
He's mm-hmm. the Falcon or no Vulture in Spider-Man coming up.
Yeah,
that's going to be.
Which is funny. He played a bat. He played a fucking bird, and now he's a vulture.
I think one of your
flying rodent to vulture. Yeah.
One of your future battles should be, and I've had this conversation with other people. Try to name 5 bad Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
You can't even
really
name
defend
one.
It. Yeah.
It's
like,
hard.
It is one actor who has, even from when he was young and he did Gilbert Grape, like,
well,
who's,
you know who the other one is,
it.
Right? Name the bad
Basketball
Tom
Diaries.
Hanks movie.
Yeah.
Name the bad Tom Hanks movie.
I will say in the past 5-10 years, I could probably name all of them.
That, yeah. Wasn't the one where he was the captain, wasn't that pretty bad?
Okay.
Sully or whatever.
I haven't seen
and
it.
And then he played one with Julia Roberts that kind of tanked 2 years ago.
But Tom Hanks was always the sure thing blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what he was known for.
He had a teetering point. I don't know which one it is. I now want to go home and look at what teetered. Because I think
I
would have
10 years
maybe ago
that,
would have agreed
with
that.
But yeah. So the thing with that is it wasn't Tom Hanks that was bad. It was the movie that was bad.
But he picked mm-hmm. it. And Leonardo's been really good about not picking bad.
There could be an argument for that for a while that I get into about Leonardo DiCaprio and what his movie particular, but...
Given a long enough timeline, all right? Because Tom Hanks did nothing wrong. And, oh, shit, why'd he do that?
I gotta figure out what the teetering point
Leo, given enough time, he's gonna make a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake.
I think... If somebody wants to give a final word.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think we have some
Somebody's
final
itching
words.
To,
yeah.
For us to get final words.
Oh, and then when he gets close to a mic, he licks it.
Aww.
Woof. You got nothing?
Nothing, Ranger?
Nothing?
Just staring at Jeter all weird? I know he's weird looking. It's like, what is that thing across the bar from me?
Nothing? Nothing? Alrighty, cool. Anything... you guys want to say before we close things out? I will. Yes, now
there
you want to talk. All right. I got to ask the question there. All right. Are you doing okay? Are you doing great? Are you doing wonderful? Killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
He's a delayed responser.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got a tweet handle here, Instagram handle as well for... Hey, we got it. Hey, you want food, right, pup? Okay, you gotta relax because we gotta promote this stuff so that way you can get treats and food.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta pay the bills first.
Exactly. So you guys are gonna be tweeting at UGTSTX. That stands for
Underground Truck Stop. Which I don't know. I don't think we actually mentioned that before. That's the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
The Underground Truck Stop.
Yeah, and you can follow the full name of that over on the Instagram, on the Twit. It's the UGTS. Just add TX at the end, and then Underground Truck Stop, all one word, no dashes, spaces, underlines, or anything funny like that on the Instagram and Facebook page.
I want to say it's
Works in the Works.
Underground Truck Stop.
Underground Truck Stop. All righty. Any final thoughts you guys have for the evening?
I think we're both just super excited to be a part of the Austin more creative community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that we give back the same way that we felt like living in Austin has given back to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chatty Cathy is nothing.
Word.
Mr. Murren, any final thoughts here from mind of the one they call Shady? Justice, yes.
No, it's fun having a little doggy in the studio today. A nice 1-year-old. Happy birthday, Ranger.
Happy birthday,
little boy. Birthday, pup.
Happy birthday, Ranger.
All righty. A little bit of self-promo then. You can follow us, follow along and see our crazy adventures on the Instagram and on the Twitter. We go by the handle at Jet Theory Radio. That's JETT Theory Radio. Find us on our Facebook page where we're going to have the poll up for this. We'll keep it open for a week. We'll say that sounds like a good enough time span.
Sure.
Help us decide who the winner of this battle was. Is it the Muppet Babies, or are you going to go for the DuckTales, or other? Say other if you don't. Well, you got to vote for one of those. If you, there's G.I. another Joe. Selection, yeah, we'll have an honorable
if
mention.
If you do
there.
Want to throw in G.I. Joe's, I mean, that could just be like the upset win right there.
That would be awesome.
Both Gray and I here would go for. We'll consider that a dual win.
I'll just say that's honorable mention. We're still going to see who has the most votes in this to win it. All righty. We have our website, jettheoryradio.com. We're going to start posting some additional stuff there. You'll want to pay close attention to the site, as well as our Facebook page, where we're going to have, obviously, the polls going on and some other exciting news coming soon, such as T-shirt information.
Yeah, a couple new T-shirts made by people standing to my left.
Underground truck stop. All righty.
Our handles, they will be launched soon.
Oh, yeah, undergroundtruckstop.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the time this probably airs, it will be up there. And we'll link to it all in the description and stuff like that for the episode information. But, hey, outside of that, I think the only thing we have left to do, unless Ranger's got any final thoughts.
Ranger?
You don't say.
That's one final thought.
Yeah. James, take us home.